So Krishna Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, and a spiritual eternal form. We are also Sat Chit Ananda, but we have a material form. So therefore, the Vigraha is not included. We're Sat Chit Ananda, and even that Sat Chit Ananda is covered over, and therefore we are under the influence of the three modes of material nature, which we are trying as devotees to overcome. But it is a great struggle, because we are coming from many lifetimes of conditioning, whereby we identify mostly with our second nature. We have, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita, that we have two natures. One is the higher nature, which is the soul, and the other is the lower nature, which is the mind and the body. So in that way, that the mind and the body sometimes is referred as Atma, the self, because we identify so much with it. But that identification is our second nature. Our first nature is that we're Sat Chit Ananda, we're the spirit soul within. So because of conditioning, we naturally identify more with our second nature than our first nature. And that is the problem. That is our main problem. Somehow we've got to control the lower self by the higher self. But how can we do that if we think the lower self is higher than the higher self? So therefore, on a daily basis, we're being dictated by the lower self, you know, by the mind and by the senses. Gimme, 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 gimme. And in that way, we fall short of our true eternal constitution of being servants of Krishna. So then naturally from that we receive other difficulties in our spiritual life, and one of them is that when there's a slight inconvenience or provocation from somewhere, then we get very upset. And I can only speak for myself, and but in relationship to this particular verse, where Krishna is himself he's partial, he's not attached either way in regards to whether he's being famed or praised or blasphemed. I'm going to take you back in to the 70s, where it was the very beginning days of our preaching in India, and I was there for about 3 years. First I helped with the Mayapur project, then I helped with the Delhi project, and then I helped with the Bhuvaneshwar project, and then I helped with the Delhi project. And this was a restless brahmachari wandering around India trying to do something to assist Srila Prabhupada. But I remember those days very clearly, because they were very difficult for us young devotees. And especially because there was a movie that had been released which was indicating that we Hare Krishnas, although we chanted Hare Krishna, we also take dope as well. So there was this song that was being sung, because the Indians, when there's a blockbuster movie, then the tendency is that that's their life and soul, you know. Well, I guess it's the same here, but especially in India, movies are very important. And whatever you get from the movie, then that becomes the way of life. So this particular producer, he produced this film that was called Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Dum Adi Dum. And it was actually very offensive to the Hare Krishna movement, because it indicated that although we were chanting Hare Krishna, simultaneously we were also taking drugs. Or at least we used to take drugs. And there we were, young devotees, trying to do something significant in India to counteract the hodgepodge Hindu way of life. By presenting the Sangatan movement, Lord Chaitanya. But we experienced this resistance. It was kind of a little bit proud for the Indians, in one sense, that Western white devotees coming to preach to them. It was a little bit against their Hindu pride. So naturally, especially the young Indians, they would provoke us by making these, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, and they would actually intimidate us to some degree. And I remember one day I was in one town with some other devotees, and we had parked in the center of town, and the other two devotees went to get to do some shopping somewhere, and I stayed by the car, and suddenly a whole gang of young people came up and they started to dance in front of me, singing Hare Krishna Hare Ram Dum Adi Dum, Hare Krishna Hare Ram Dum Adi Dum, Dum Adi Dum, Dum Adi Dum. It was like, at that time I was British, and British people don't like things like that. I think I've come out of that Britishness to some extent, but not in those days. I was British, and when I saw these boys, intimidating me, I slapped one of them across the face. I either slapped him or I thumped him in the chest or something. I did something which was not very good. And there was about three of them that were doing it, and they walked away. I was thinking, that's it. But no, within about 10 minutes, he had brought practically the whole village in the center of town, and there was an absolute uproar, to say the least. And when the other two devotees came back, they inquired from me what's going on. And I said, I hit someone, and they're now very angry. And then he asked, why did you hit him? And I said, because they were chanting Dum Adi Dum to me. And, it's taken me a long time to give up my drugs, and I don't want someone coming before me saying Dum Adi Dum. And it was just too much for my false ego. He said, but you don't hit anyone in India. If you hit someone in India, you're in trouble. And we're all now in trouble. And what he did, because he was our leader, he said, look, we're going to walk to the car, and we're going to do it very slowly, jump in the car, and then we're going to just drive away. And hopefully we'll get away from here. So that's what we did do. But as soon as we entered the car, we told the driver, okay, jaldi, jaldi, get out of here. And then he turned around and said, I don't have the keys. The Indians are very intelligent, you see. They know they're always one step ahead. So they had already taken the keys from the driver. So there we were now in the car with no keys. And so it was a real precarious situation. The whole village had surrounded us, and shouting and screaming. So then there was no other way, but I had to come out and then just be as humble as possible, and paid my obeisances to this boy and said that I was sorry. And anyway, luckily we kind of got away from there. They gave us back the keys. As we left, they threw a few stones at the car, but that was about it. So we were lucky. But anyway, the point here is that I was disturbed, but when Prabhupada was asked about this phenomena that was going on while we were preaching, he didn't take it very seriously at all. In fact, he said, well, that's good, they're chanting Hare Krishna. They're saying Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. They may be saying Dum Adi Dum, but first they chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And therefore they will make spiritual advancement from that. So, and sure enough, Prabhupada was right. They had chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Ram for so much, for so many years, that nowadays when you go to India and people see us, they say Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, right? They don't say, oh, Hare Krishna. They say Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So that song's still there within the mind's eye, but they left out the Dum Adi Dum. Of course, needless to say, we've done a lot of work in India, and therefore we've helped the Indians in so many ways by presenting or building temples and giving facilities for them to become Krishna conscious. So anyway, this was interesting. I always remember this, that we were disturbed, but Prabhupada was not, because he knew that we have to see things positively in whatever way people react to the Hare Krishna movement or the Hare Krishna mantra. If they act positively, then all well and good. But if they act in an adverse way, then that's okay. The fact is that still they're chanting Hare Krishna and they'll become purified. So I think that we have to reflect on our own spiritual life too, that naturally when we're very sincere in our service to Krishna, it is always the case. There's no upset, what's another word for difference? There's no difference from one to another. There's no I forgot the word none. Anyway, exception, that's the word. There's no exception to this particular rule. It's almost like a rule that Krishna has. It doesn't matter how sincere you are in your service to Krishna, there will be aversions. There will be someone coming up and giving you a real hard time. Prabhupada gives the example that when the caravan passes, the dogs will come out and bark. It's a normal phenomenon of the dog. That if something's moving near his home, then he'll come out and bark. What are you doing here? Go away. Why do you even dare to come past my house? Row, row, row. But Prabhupada said that even so, the caravan still continues down the road. The caravan doesn't take any notice. You know, it's just a dog, after all. So, in the same way, in our service to spiritual master and Krishna, there will be persons who will find some fault. And sometimes they're non-devotees, and even sometimes they're devotees. Non-devotees, it's not so bad, because we understand that non-devotees don't understand what we're doing, so it's only natural that they're going to bark a little bit. But when it comes from the devotees, then that's the test. That's the real test of each devotee. How are we going to react? Because after all, we know how sincere we are. On a day-to-day basis, we're working very hard, and we're very sincere. We know the level of our sincerity. We know that we cannot do more than what we're doing. And yet, here's someone coming up and saying, naughty, 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 naughty. And it's very discouraging. Prabhupada gives the example of the Gordian knot, that they also tried to discourage him. They discouraged him, they tried to discourage him so much that at one point he actually told us that you should not associate with my god brothers. When they came to Mayapur, because Prabhupada introduced them to the first Mayapur festival, some of them were very polite, and when they spoke very nicely about Prabhupada. But others, they were a little bit critical, even to the point of going in detail, why has Bhaktivedanta, why is he initiating women, and why are they allowed in the temple, why are they given Gayatri Mantra, etc., etc. So when that meeting was over, Prabhupada called his GBC members, and he said that I've tried to encourage my god brothers to join with me in the preaching of spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world, but I can see that it is not possible. They have their own mood and understanding. So he gave us two instructions. And those two instructions are Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Said, don't associate, but don't offend. Those were their two instructions, that we shouldn't associate because there's a different mood, there's a different understanding, but at the same time we should not offend, because they are anyway, after all, Vaishnavas. So this is a very clear statement. Don't associate, but don't offend. And if we follow that instruction, then We can't go wrong. But anyway, the point that Prabhupada was making was that we shouldn't lose sight of our goal. That no matter how much difficulty is being presented before us, even though we are sincere, we should take those difficulties in our stride. That come what may, we should not give up the determination and enthusiasm within our service. He himself gave the solution to this problem. He said that in regards to his own difficulties, he continued strong in his service. He uses the word he continued his service with great force. And he mentioned his own spiritual master saying, giving the words, with great velocity. Is it velocity? What's velocity? Speed. Maya also tries to stop us. She cannot stop us if we're doing two things. If we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're serving other devotee Vaishnavas. These are the two areas where Maya cannot enter. It is explained like that. Maya is very powerful, but she cannot enter into the arena where their devotees are chanting Hare Krishna and where they're serving each other. So therefore she looks for a loophole. She's looking around within the temple, trying to find loopholes, and especially she tries to find devotees who are a little inattentive in their sadhana bhakti. As long as we're practicing our sadhana bhakti on a day-to-day basis, we're just like this wire. This wire has insulation, it's insulated, and therefore you cannot get an electric shock. So similarly, our sadhana bhakti practices, they're the means by which we can protect ourselves from Maya's influence. But if we slacken and we're inattentive in those practices, then that's where she comes in, and she uses us as an instrument by which she can cause havoc within the temple. And it's done very, very subtly. It's almost, we don't even know what's going on. She is so powerful that she can just blanket the temple with her illusion just by using one individual. That's how powerful she is. So therefore we have to remain attentive in our practices, not become overcome by these differences. On one side we're praised and on another side we're given a hard time. These are the dualities which have been explained here that are within the realm of the body. The person who's in the mode of ignorance and passion, we have to rise above these modes and come to the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, we don't take too seriously someone who's praising us, and we don't take too seriously someone who's chastising us. In fact, we could even take this one step further and say that actually a devotee who's coming out of the modes, completely out of the modes, and is transcendentally situated, he would prefer to be chastised than to be praised. Bhaktisiddhanta was during During his preaching, there was one man who harassed him wherever he went. He would find out exactly where Bhaktisiddhanta would be preaching, and then he would come and follow him. And then he would make a whole offensive behavior to Bhaktisiddhanta to disturb the devotees. And Bhaktisiddhanta didn't take any notice of him, but of course the devotees, they were disturbed. And one day there was a big kirtan going on in the temple, and Bhaktisiddhanta came down and said, "Oh, there's a festival today?" And the devotees, his disciples, said, "No, Maharaj, it's not a festival, but we are celebrating the death of your enemy." And he inquired, "Oh, who is that?" And then when he was informed, it was such and such person who's always been so many years harassing you. He said, no, he was actually my guru. He taught me tolerance, patience, and he taught me all these subtle qualities that we need to have in order to become a great Vaishnava. So this is an interesting scenario, because it's the complete opposite of what we're conditioned to think. That if we're praised and loved, we all want to be loved and we all want to be praised. That's what we're all looking for every day. You know, who's appreciating me? Who's praising me? Who's loving me? Because I need it. I need that so much. But then Krishna is trying to make this arrangement where instead of getting all that, we're practically crying in despair. And we're wondering, what's going on? You know, I came to Krishna consciousness for love and peace and tranquility, and I get all this. This doesn't make it any sense. But as we know, or if we don't know, we will know that all this is all meant for us to come up to the point of actually taking full surrender, full shelter of Krishna. He wants nothing less than undivided devotional service. At the moment, our service is divided. A little bit for Krishna, a little bit for me. Actually, a little bit too much for Krishna. I'll take some back. A little bit more for me. So, there was one Indian gentleman who came to Prabhupada's room, and he put a large check down on Prabhupada's table. And Prabhupada looked at it and just very casually said, "Hare Krishna." The man walked out. It was a large check. It was not something small. And Prabhupada acknowledged, "Thank you, Hare Krishna." And then Sarasvati, she was a little girl at the time, walked in just right afterwards with a big rose flower and offered it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, his mood was completely different. He was very happy with her offering, because he saw her offering was with more love than with the offering that was given by the businessman a few moments ago. Because the pure devotee understands that from where Krishna is standing, Krishna is not seeing what you're offering, but he's seeing what you're not offering. He's seeing what you keep in your, what's left in your back pocket. That's what he's seeing. "Oh, it's very nice you've offered this, but I can see in your back pocket you have so much money there. And you even only gave me a percentage of what you got. very small percentage. Whereas Sarasvati, she didn't have anything, but she did have this flower and she offered it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada accepted it with great gratitude. So, it's also explained that sometimes devotees, they're born in non-devotee families, and we wonder, how come Krishna made that arrangement? Just like Prahlad Maharaj and Vidura, there's so many devotees that are born in non-devotee families, and they were harassed and given so much of a difficult time. And Prabhupada, or Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that he gives a few analogies. He said that a candle or a sunrise becomes very beautiful at twilight or sun or dusk. The sun, when it rises, then the sun is very beautiful. If you look at the sun at midday, it doesn't look very beautiful. You don't tend to look at the sun midday, but you look at the sun at the end of the day or in the beginning of the day. He also gave the example of when you're hungry, then you will appreciate eating. If you're not hungry, you don't take your eating so seriously. But when you're very hungry, like we are now, after Ekadashi, we can't wait to eat those grains. I don't know about anyone else, but that's how I feel. I'm highly motivated here sitting giving this class. So I know there's a plate of Mahabharshad coming in a few moments. But this is the opposite, you see. The opposite of what we think should be is actually not. We would imagine that a great devotee like Prahlad, he would be born in a nice family, in an exceptionally wonderful family. So why is he born in a demon family? And Prabhupada explains that because then, although he's already glorious, he becomes even more glorious within the family of a non-devotee. Because of the harassment he's been given. So then we tend to take Prahlad Maharaj as even more exalted than what he is. So in this way we should try as much as possible to not become inattentive in our determination to execute our daily practices of Krishna consciousness. We need to try to maintain single-mindedness. Single-mindedness meaning that don't let the mind be diverted into different directions. In fact, there is one story regarding this. I'll finish off with this story. That there was a toad and a centipede. The centipede had hundreds of legs and could dance very nicely. I think another word is millipada. Millipada? Is that the Indian word? Millipada? It's an insect that has hundreds and thousands of legs. But anyway, the English word is centipede. So the frog was very envious of the centipede because the centipede could dance so nicely with his thousands of legs. The frog, all he could do was jump with his four legs, jumping, jumping, jumping. So as he was looking at the centipede, he became very disturbed. So he decided to write a letter to the centipede. He said, "My dear centipede, I notice that you're dancing very nicely, but could you tell me, when you dance, do you start with your 52nd foot and move over to your 84th foot and then back to your 9th foot and then over to your 110th foot? Or do you start with your 2nd foot, move over to your 4th foot and then to your 24th foot and then to your 89th foot? How do you dance, actually?" So then the Millipada, he was thinking, how do I dance? And he started to try to figure it out with all his legs, how he was dancing. And he got so confused that actually he could not dance anymore. So this is an indication of how we can get so bogged. The mind can get so diverted into different directions that the real thing, the thing that we need to do, which is our service to Krishna, we can no longer do it properly. Sometimes that happens when the spiritual master comes. You know, different devotees have different services to welcome the spiritual master. So one devotee is going to take his coat, another devotee is going to take his shoes off, and then another devotee is going to give a garland, and then another devotee is going to show him where to sit. But then, because all these devotees, although they knew exactly what they needed to do, but because they got a little bit mental, thinking, well, I hope I don't offend my spiritual master, and I hope that this, and I hope that, and they're kind of getting mental. The mentalness just drives them completely dizzy, and when it's time to actually do the service, they everyone does their service in the wrong way. They give the garland before taking off the coat, and you know, we've seen these phenomena sometimes in the temple. It's quite funny. But that is only because we have not maintained single-mindedness. If we maintain single-mindedness, we know exactly what we're going to do and we know how to do it. And that is what Krishna is asking from us. Come what may, whatever comes our way, stay focused and fixed in our service. Okay, we'll finish there. Drantrad Srimad Bhagavatam Class Key. Is there a question?